The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is proudly presented by Owens Farms Piedmontese.
Let me share a local Spokane secret that everyone needs to know about. Owens Farms Piedmontese beef. Trust me when I say this. You cannot beat this meat. It's tender. It's flavorful. It's some of the best beef you'll ever put into your mouth, period. And to top it off, when you eat it, you can say goodbye to the meat hangovers. That's because Piedmontese beef is lean and has much less cholesterol than your typical supermarket beef. It's a new year. It's time to start living your life with no regrets. Go to ofp.farm to reserve your half or whole order of premium Piedmontese beef today. Go to ofp.farm. The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is produced independently and locally in Spokane, Washington by Spokecast Studios. Our city, our stories. Visit www.spokecast.com to learn more about how you can start your very own podcast today. Thank you to Jinx Universe and Position Music for letting The Perimeter use the song Let's Do It Again from Jinx's album, Make It Look Good.
The Perimeter with Adam Morrison is brought to you in sponsorship with Delicious Hamburgers. Did you know Delicious Hamburgers and fries are the freshest in Spokane? Their hamburgers are never frozen, and that's because it tastes better. There's not even a freezer in the restaurant. Their fries are always made to order and never set under a heat lamp. It's differences like this you can truly taste. Next time you're craving the freshest hamburgers and fries, head to the corner of Augusta and Division and ask for the Perimeter Combo, a triple delicious hamburger with grilled onions, pickles, and special sauce. It also comes with fries and your choice of a milkshake. Delicious. Taste the difference.
Let me introduce you to the Spokane Workers Co-op, a locally based worker-owned holding company whose mission it is to increase access to living wages, workplace democracy, and autonomy, and to create the sort of lifelong career trajectories that are increasingly uncommon for the majority of people in America. The worker owners of SWC, regardless of which business they work, are equal co-owners of the entire holding company, providing them not just direct ownership of the fruits of their own labor, but ownership in a diversified and resilient portfolio of businesses dedicated to serving Spokane and the Inland Northwest. SWC also buys traditional businesses. SWC buys traditional businesses like LLCs, partnerships, and sole proprietorships, for example, from owners who are ready to retire and who want to make sure the employees who help them build their business are taken care of after the owner leaves. Learn more at www.spokane.coop. And if you're an owner interested in talking about selling, email SWC at team@spokane.coop. That is team@spokane.coop.
Let's do it again!
Welcome to Week 18, Season 2 of The Perimeter, sponsored by Owens Farms Piedmontese. I got Brennan, the producer, helping me out. We're doing a recap of the West Coast Conference Tournament, which Gonzaga won, and then the seedings, the bracket came out yesterday. I think an overall correct seed, 3 seed. We'll get into the depths of that later on. The location, Denver, is way better than Albany that Joe Lenardi from ESPN had us at. Selfishly, I fist pumped because I didn't have to get on 2 flights. I can get on a direct to Denver. I know some people down in Denver. I have a good high school friend that lives down there. I can see friends and family, so that type of stuff is good. What'd you think of the seating?
I thought it was amazing. I mean, I think everyone in Spokane was happy with that seating. Yeah. Because you could, it's a flight, right? Yeah, it's direct. A direct flight from Spokane. It's a good time. It's a Friday game in the evening. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like we always get, in recent past, we get Thursday games and they're like afternoon games. Yeah. And always kind of messes with trying to do something fun. And yeah. So, but yeah, I thought the seating was great. Obviously, I think we'll get into the matchups, but yeah, the matchups in the first round are great, but the second round might be tough.
Yeah, the second round is going to be interesting. We'll dive into that with a TCU and then Arizona State, Nevada. We don't know with the playing game. Yeah. I there's always a devil's advocate to it, but I think I wish they would just do all the 16 seeds would play each other in Dayton for the play-in game. I think the play-in games are cool, but also if you're 11 seed, it's kind of, I just feel like it's so bad that you have to play in one of those games and then hop on a flight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because then if you make it and lose that game, did you really make the NCAA tournament? It's kind of messed up to say.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I wish they would not make two 11s play each other because I think it's kind of an unfair shake. But there's obviously, you know, bigger the suits that make the money. And people got to understand this is a entertainment. I know it's a competition, but they look when they make these brackets – they make them for TV, right?
It's
the product. And this is the thing that floats a lot of what the NCAA does as a whole, not just college basketball. It's like they make, $1 billion a year or something like that, just off the tournament or selling ads or whatever. So it's like one of these things that they have to get right. And they try to make it for TV. I know that's not completely how it works, but they sit there and try to move the chess pieces as far as long. So I guess those two, the counter to that is those two 11 games that are in Dayton, or is like, that's a fun game to watch. So I understand that part, but like if you're at 11 seed and you've had a good season and you know, from a smaller conference, but you maybe got an at large and you've had a good year from like a Mountain West or even something along those nature. And then you have to go to Dayton, you have to get on a flight. And then if you win, Michigan State made a run a few years ago, doing that, I think, or UCLA did. It was UCLA that one year too.
Yeah.
Made a run for the 11. So sometimes it can provide you, momentum and all that stuff. But, anyway, let's get into the West Coast Conference Championship. Obviously I'm not going to talk much about the San Francisco game. Our guys played good. That was a favorable matchup for us. I thought being on that side of the bracket ended up being better in the long run. We talked about that in the last episode. The two seed was actually better than the one because we got to avoid LMU or BYU. And then St. Mary's did an excellent job against BYU in that semifinal game. Really took them out of the kind of what they did. They were up 26 at one point. BYU made it a game. I think it was an 8-point game late. But St. Mary's looked really impressive in that game. I was really perplexed just from an outside standpoint. We watched the second half. They started pressing, BYU did, and it really worked out for them. But I was just sitting there going, why is Dave Rose waiting to press until the second half? Like, why didn't you press right away? And that feeds into our strategy. Now, when we played them the second time 9 days prior to that game in Spokane, we instituted our 30 press, the 1-2-2, everybody knows it. And it did a really good job of, you know, sometimes when you press, you slow teams down, but you also do it to speed them up. And it's not necessarily speed them up to take bad shots, but it allows you to, take some time off the shot clock so you're not running against or defending against multiple ball screen actions. And that was the theory with St. Mary's. So obviously that worked in the last home game, last West Coast Conference game in Spokane. So then we did the same thing to them in the West Coast Conference Championship game, and we jumped out on them early. It was 37-19 at half.
Yeah.
They were really discombobulated. I was really impressed with our energy. Both teams didn't score until about 2.5 minutes in the game. So we started off slow, but sometimes that, that happens. You miss your first couple shots and you can kind of hear groans, but it's like, you're not going to come out, your tail's on fire, hair on fire. You know what I mean? So sometimes it just, you got to settle yourself down. But I thought the first half was fantastic. Our guys were flying around. They didn't look nervous or anything like that. We started off pressing, like I said, against Aiden Mahaney, who was first team all league, newcomer of the year, fantastic player, getting a lot of buzz and rightfully so. We did the same ball screen coverage that we did in Spokane. I knew it was going to be similar, maybe a few other wrinkles, but why change, you know, something that was working? And we put, we would press, and then if there was a shuffle into it, because Julian's usually on the top of that 1-2-2, he would stay on Mahaney into the ball screen coverage. And then if we had to switch, which we didn't a lot, but if we had to switch and get over, or if we had to trap, we had two big guys, because usually Drew or Anton was the guy guarding the screener, and have length against him to give him, make him give the ball up. And we did an excellent job in that first half. It was curious to see too, because Julian's not known as he's known as a decent defender, but he's not known as like a guy that guards smalls. Mm-hmm. And he did an excellent job on him. And then if they got hung up and there was some action where they could switch, a lot of times it would be Nolan or Rashear who did a good job on him, more quicker guys. So it was just a really difficult matchup for Mahaney to try to navigate through. And like I said, that press just really bothered him. We did a good job on the glass. We didn't allow their guys like Dukas to get, wide open threes, which he's really good at. We did a better job on Logan Johnson, who had a fantastic game, had 27 against us in Spokane. But if you look at their guys' numbers, you know, going into the second half to the end of the game, I mean, we scored, like I said, 37-19 in the first and then 40-32 in the second. So we ended up winning by 26, absolute blowout. The game was over in the first half, which mm-hmm. is weird to say in a championship game. There really wasn't a thrust for St. Mary's. I was a little bit surprised in the second half that there wasn't any adjustments. Now, and I sit there and say this, all right, what adjustments could be made? Because the press, again, was there to speed them up, but not slow them down as far as possession. So they already play slow, but make it to where you don't have to run as defend as many actions. And the Marcellus kid, what's his last name? Marcellonis, that his dad played in the NBA, is a good player, the European kid that comes off the bench for them, is a good point guard. I would have put him in for the Bowen kid, and I would have ran three guards against us. So if we throw that 40-foot diagonal pass that Bowen kid got a lot, which ended up sometimes turns into a two-on-one, he would just catch it and then throw it back out. So my point is, like, the adjustment I would have made is to try to punish us against the press. Now, maybe it doesn't work all the time, but having three point guards and ball handlers out there, Logan Johnson, Mahaney, and Marcellonis, would have been the adjustment I made. Obviously, Randy Bennett knows what he's doing, but just watching from afar, you know, I was talking to Huddy off air. It's like, they're not doing anything to punish us for pressing. Like, that's the point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like when you play, you know, all bigs and you put in smalls and vice versa, like whose adjustment can and cause the most damage. And I don't think they made an adjustment. Now, with that being said, in the second half, I think St. Mary's understood that they were in the NCAA tournament. Obviously they're competing, so I'm not saying that, but they understand their NCAA tournament. I think they kind of just, packed up their tent and was like, hey, we got more games to play and let's not get guys hurt and let's calm down here. But I mean, if you look at their numbers, they shot 33% overall, 25 from three. So defensively we were just absolutely fantastic. I mean, you can't ask for better numbers like that. I mean, Dukas was 4-10, had 10 points. Mahaney was 2-8, only had 7. Saxon inside, who had 15 and 11 down there, you know, a couple months ago when they beat us, was 2-7. Kyle Bowen, who's kind of a role player anyway, only had 2 points. But if you look, Marcellonis had 0-3. And then Logan Johnson was 7-16, had 20. But if with about 3.5 minutes to go, he had 7 points. So he scored all those kind of in the garbage time, you know, was getting layups and stuff like that. But, our guys did an excellent job defensively. I was really proud of how they've, handled themselves. And then to be frank, like, you know, when we lost that game down there and we were 2 games back, there was a lot of voices, especially around town. This is the year that we're going down, you know, and rightfully so. And I've talked about it before. It's not a knock on people who, you don't always have to be, we're the best. And I understand that. And I do it on our shows and not on my broadcasts on the radio. Like, I always try to be honest with like what we're deficient at, but it's also like, we just lost to a team that was like number 7 in the net on their home floor in overtime when we were led for 36 minutes. Okay. So like, just, it's not like we got waxed and looked terrible.
Right.
You know, there was just some defensive plays that we didn't make down the stretch, but I was just impressed with climbing our way back throughout the rest of that, you know, West Coast Conference season. We got the loss from LMU, or LMU beating St. Mary's to allow us to only get one game back, and then winning that College Game Day game was fantastic. Basically, you know, our last meaningful game at home, you know, great crowd, great atmosphere. And then, you know, obviously being the second seed, but just taking care of business with San Francisco and then coming in with, just a steely resolve against St. Mary's was really proud, because this team at the start of the year was, you know, didn't have a great start. And then also people were, you know, why is this, what's going on and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey man, there was guys that were younger who didn't play a lot of minutes last year that we knew were going to grow into their roles. Nolan Hickman, Hunter Silas, right? We didn't know what Malachi was. You know what I'm saying? We didn't even see him play. I mean, obviously saw him at Chattanooga, but like he's going to grow into a role. And those three perimeter guys were fantastic. I mean, Julian was 4-for-8 in that game, had 10. Drew was fantastic, 8-of-10, won the MVP, 18 points. Anton Watson had 9, but the previous game against San Francisco, I think Anton had 20 and something. It was fantastic. I was hoping he would get a double-double. He had 9 and 10 just so he could be in the running for MVP.
Oh, yeah.
The tournament MVP. Mm-hmm. Even though it's rightfully so, Drew earned it. But I was just like, that'd be a cool honor because he only made honorable mention in league. And I was kind of disappointed in that. He's been having a really important season for us. He's scoring at a great clip. All the defensive stuff he does. Obviously, he's a local kid too. So you root for local kids. So I was kind of like, come on, man, get to like 14 and 10, and then maybe you might win this MVP award for the league. But our guys played fantastic. I mean, we shoot 58%, 57 from 3, 8 of 14. Obviously, score 77. It's below our average, but that's the number. If you get above 70 against St. Mary's, you usually win the game. That's kind of the number. The two losses that they had in conference were above 70. LMU got that. And then obviously we got that at home against them. Malachi Smith with another beautiful game against them. Both games he had 13, 5 of 6 from the field. This game he had 14, 5 of 9, 2 of 3 from downtown. Great minutes off the bench. Played 27 minutes and played a ton of minutes off the bench. But, you know, everybody played good that game. So I was happy for our guys, honestly, you know, just because it was cool to see, you know, them kind of picking themselves up after that conference loss that, like I said, it was a really good team on the road, and I'm going out to win a league title. Coach Few talks about it all the time. Don't take these things for granted. And it's so true. Like winning regular season titles and championships in the tournament is something that you always remember. And then it's just pretty cool to have the dominance over the league. Don't, you know, cause you go into those games, like, you know, you're going to make the NCAA tournament, and the most you could lose is maybe one seed line, maybe two, if you actually lay an egg. But like, we go out and focus every single time and, you know, do a good job of handling business and winning the games that we do. I must give props to the West Coast Conference. This is going to be a local aspect to this next comment and next thought is, you know, you looked at Eastern Washington this year, who won 17 games in a row, fantastic season, and they lose their first round game against Northern Arizona, who made it to the championship game of the Big Sky Tournament. But that's the argument that Coach Few's always made, and I think it's so true. These smaller conferences need to protect their, you know, their league champion or their first and second round seeds, for so they don't have to play 11 and 20 team in the first round that's got literally nothing to lose, and something wonky happens and you lose a 3-pointer at the buzzer like they did, and now they didn't even have a chance. Now the counter's like, go out and beat that team. It's like, well, yeah, you've already played them twice this season and you won your league titles. You should have an advantage to winning your league title. Do you see what I'm saying?
Totally, for sure. It is weird that they, and I think it's better like for the like newsworthy to have an Eastern in the tournament that has that won 17 games in a row during the season.
Bingo. You're exactly right. Like, so if you're the Big Sky, and nothing against Montana State, had a great year all seasons, has built that program. Montana State are, you're kind of the upper echelon of that league, and they play good basketball. We played Montana this year. I've seen Montana State a little bit. I've actually, one of the guys that used to coach where my dad coached is one of the assistants there now. So there's kind of a connection.
Oh, nice,
and I we're friends on Facebook or whatever. So I follow him through that. Mm-hmm. Nice guy. And, but it's like, if you're the league and, like you said, if Eastern gets a championship and wins, gets a chance, here's a really good, and they probably get to the 13 line or maybe, you know what I'm saying? And they actually have a chance maybe to win a game. Not that Montana State doesn't, but I'm just thinking of the whole picture.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? It actually has a chance to win. And so if you're the Big Sky, it's like, you got to protect your first and second place team. Give them a fucking bye.
Yeah.
because that's what you should win. That's what you should, your reward should be something, not just the number one seed. You should be able to get a bye and let those, you know, those teams that haven't had a good year beat the shit out of each other and you get to play them in the semis.
Yeah.
So hats off to the West Coast Conference for understanding that. Because remember when we used to do the three-game deal, I know it's better for the fans, but remember that year David Stockton had to make a layup at the buzzer against, we were playing like Santa Clara?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's a first round game. It's like, we won the fucking league. Like, why do we have to play these guys the third time and they're 18 and 15?
Yeah.
Like, it's unfair. And people, you know, I get there's plenty of counters to it, but I think my theory is better as far as like, you won the league, you should get, you know, and that's what Fuey bitched about 6, 7, 8 years ago. And he was right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you should get that break.
I know there used to be a lot of people talking about possibly getting two at-large bids from each, like a conference champion and then the tournament champion. And I don't, like, I think that is if they expanded the tournament to like 80 plus teams. I know
they've been talking about 94 for like, a while or whatever.
And
it's just crazy.
Which is crazy. But like, I've heard that argument, like have, if the two are different, if it's like you have a different champion, a conference champion, a tournament champion, then they both get at-large bids, or not at-large bids, but automatic bids. But yeah, it's unfortunate for Eastern. They get to play in a fun
NIT
game against WSU, cool. But
yeah, which is cool. The two local programs, especially for Washington State, Kyle Smith's a good coach. He used to coach at San Francisco. He's a analytic type of coach. They shoot a lot of threes. They play, you know, space motion and all that new age basketball, but he's trying to get that program going in the right direction. And it's possible. Tony Bennett showed that you can, but you got to find diamonds in the rough for recruiting. That's nothing against Pullman and people around town, but it's like, hey kid, come to Arizona or come to Tucson and Tempe and wherever, you know, Seattle. Oh, here's Pullman. You know what I mean? It's just the real thing. It's just it's nothing personal. But I'm just talking like the real bones about it. So anyway, that's my rant about local teams. It sucks for Eastern. I know, you know, there's a lot of fans and I know people that are fans of their program. And when you win 17, 18 games in a row or whatever they did, and then you get bounced out in the first round, it's just, you chuckle in a nice way, but you're just like, fuck, that's just so dirty. Cause you have to play this team that you've already beat twice.
Yeah.
They had literally fucking nothing to lose, and something wonky happens, and boom, you're done. Season over. Good job. Nice 17-game win streak. Pat on the back, and you don't even have a shot. And so it's like, well, what's the point of winning the league? I mean, really, like if you're all going to make the conference tournament, I don't know if the Big Sky everybody makes it, but if you can be 11-20 and still have a crack at the first team that won the championship, then it's like, well,
yeah,
it's, right?
Yeah, I mean, the grind just, of a season so long to be...
There should be a reward.
There should be a reward for finishing first.
Yeah, like you a first round bye.
You should get a bye.
Yeah, you should get a bye. And so anyway, like we mentioned, yesterday was Selection Sunday, so exciting time. I went down to Gonzaga. They have a viewing party or whatever for some of the, you know, staff and other people around the program, and took the kiddos down there, and it was exciting, you know. So I think Denver is obviously fantastic, that we spoke about earlier, as far as fans getting there, only hour difference, time zone, I think, right? Mountain, only hour difference, so that the body clock stuff doesn't really affect you for a month and a half. Nardi, who's usually really solid, obviously has that job for 10 years and the people rely on it, had us in Albany. It's like, fuck, man, Albany, like, and nobody did. It's not... Nothing against the East Coast, but it's like you get that 3-hour difference and you might play a noon game there and it's 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's a real thing to consider when you're talking about routines, you know, body clock. How do you feed the guys one meal versus two or three meals before a game? I mean, like, that stuff goes into like a big time athlete, like Division I athlete. So when we saw that St. Mary's went over there, laugh out loud. And you know, once they were in that one spot, it's like, well, they're not going to put us to meet each other in the second round. There's no way that would be possible. So it was kind of like, all right, now where are we going? And then obviously Sacramento was on the deal, but getting, Denver for geography and fans, like I mentioned, is fantastic. So really, happy about that. Not just on a personal level, but I think it just helps us in general. you do have to mention the elevation. I know people might scoff at that. They're high level athletes. Obviously, I've played in Denver at both levels, and it's not the elevation per se. It's this, how long it takes you to get your second wind is the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So like you can go out there and play. And then that first media, you'll be like, oh shit. Like it's taking me a little bit longer to like, you know, get my body. Like, and that's, it's a real thing, you know, it's 5,200 feet or whatever. They have it on, like when you watch Nuggets games, they have the number on the free throw line, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get your second wind. It's different. So that is a real possibility or concern that I think people, all the teams have to be cognizant about. Is like, okay, how do you get your second wind? You know, obviously it's really late in the season, but your guys better be in shape now. Obviously they should be, but like next level shape. But I think Grand Canyon, you know, they finished fourth in the WAC. I think it's a favorable matchup for us. Obviously they're 14 seed, but sometimes you can see like a Kent State, I think got to a 12, but like a Kent State type of team could be at a 14 line, right?
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like a really good senior laden team. Grand Canyon had a great conference tournament, made it all the way, you know, to the WAC championship and obviously won. We must add, okay, so there's many connections with Grand Canyon. Roger Powell was on staff there for multiple years. Kid named Kurt, his last name is escaping me, but no offense. Our video guy worked with Roger there on that staff. And then obviously Liam Lloyd just transferred there. Coach Tommy Lloyd's son, who's obviously grew up around Gonzaga. So that's another phone call you can make.
Yeah, for sure.
On like, just give me personnel. Like, obviously I'm going to watch what we're running, but like, tell me about player X. What does he really like to do? You've played with the guy. Does he not like to go left? Does he get mad when when he jumps and you step underneath him, and does it bother, you know, like little things like that.
Yeah.
So it is kind of cool to have a first round matchup where we have some level of familiarity. You know, obviously I think we'll probably be favored 8-12, which makes sense, but you never take any of these games for lightly. 14-3 upsets have happened. I obviously hope we win. We're going to be favored. Like I said, we're going to, have a good chance to play well, but I always, you know, I always tell people the NCAA tournament is so cliche, but some people don't realize it's like, there is no walk in the park. I mean, we saw 16-1. What, 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
3 years ago. It's probably 3 years ago. Four, maybe.
Four years ago.
Yeah. You always, COVID, you just, everybody glosses over it. Like, you know, you just lose a year in your mind.
Yes.
You know, and you're just like, what year was that? Like, but yeah, it happens. Remember, the year we lost in the second round of Wichita State. Southern had us fucking shit in our pants.
Yep.
You know, that year. So, like, my point is, what I'm getting at is like, there is no easy games. Teams can get hot. The lower seeds always have, you know, nothing to lose. And then when you're in those arenas, people have gone to games. Like, if you're neutral, who do you always root for? You root for the underdog every single time at games. It's awesome. And then, so, like, my point is, if they start rolling and hitting threes, you get down six, then everybody's on their side. They get on their side, then the officials maybe turn because the crowd. So the biggest thing for me is to get out, you know, play our game, obviously, you know, play with energy. You know, Drew's got to play well. Julian's got to play well. Our perimeter guys got to play well. But we can't obviously lay an egg. But again, we're favored. It's a team that finished fourth in the WAC. Not a great basketball conference, but it's obviously playing hot. Got hot in their, conference tournament. Mm-hmm. So let's do a little bit of a foresight on TCU. And then again, we go into the Arizona State Nevada play-in game. Now, I've watched Arizona State. St. Mary's beat the breaks off of them earlier this year is one of their quality wins. Arizona State's always funny because they beat Arizona earlier in the season, later in the season, right before the conference tournament on a 60-foot heave. So then you're always like, well, they beat them, but did they really beat them? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then Arizona handled them in the Pac-12 conference. But it's Coach Hurley's got those guys always playing hard. That program is obviously in the ascension of getting better, more consistent. I think it's one of those games that's interesting to watch against Nevada, who's another, I think Nevada's in the WAC. I'm pretty sure they're in the WAC. Are they in the WAC?
I'm gonna look that up. No, they're in the Mountain West.
Yeah, excuse me, West, old WAC. In the Mountain West, so another good team that can play, but it's so hard to predict those 11 games. So I'm going to talk about TCU mostly. I think TCU is going to be an interesting matchup for us. Jamie Dixon has that team always playing hard. He's built that program up into kind of nothing. I think in the last 5, 6, 7 years that university's really made a point to be better at sports. We saw him in football, mm-hmm. right? You know what I'm saying? So, and then I think a great hire in Jamie Dixon. He used to be at Pitt for years and had really good teams out there. Always hard-nosed, tough, play defense first, kind of try to punk you is the best way to describe it. I don't know how else to describe it, but like try to play bully ball and, mm-hmm. and kind of get you off your line offensively. Not afraid to grind type of teams, throw it off, shoot and just go push somebody in the back and go get offensive rebounds and go score that way. I know that sounds funny. It's not the best brand of basketball to watch, but you can win a lot of games and be successful as a coach having that style. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys do. And then frankly, it has one of those, scary matchups physically that we've had with other Big 12 teams, and Baylor and Texas, And so, it's going to be curious to see how, if we beat Grand Canyon. I have to keep saying if, but we got to have to assume, and then we obviously assume TCU wins. That's the hardest part about doing this. But that is going to be a real challenge for us, a la like Memphis was in the second round last year, where it was, Drew Timmy making tons of plays down the stretch, but guys are going to have to be ready for physicality. They're going to have to be ready for, your secondary, third, fourth options offensively, because they're going to take away your first side, or, your pressure releases are going to have to be built in, which they always are. But that's all also like a deal that some coaches at some levels don't understand. Like pressure releases have to be like dialed in now. You can't just put them in now and yeah, I'm just going to leave it at that.
I want to point out too, and you've talked about this throughout the entire season, is this like getting to the tournament and how playing these dogs that are just like, because they're in the Big 12, they play against Kansas, Texas, Kansas State, Baylor, like
Oklahoma State was the first four out or whatever. Like you just keep going Iowa on the State. Line.
Like, yes. I mean, almost, I mean, they have like, I think they have 9 or 10 bids to the tournament. They grind it out during the season, and they've beat Kansas, and they've beat other Texas and Kansas State. Just like they're a really good team.
Exactly, and so it's one of those where like you can look at the seed line, but it's going to be like a pick'em game, or somebody's going to be favored by two. It's going to be one of those basically straight across. So it's an interesting draw. I think it's a good draw for us. Like I mentioned, I know it sounds funny, but being close to home helps us. Mm-hmm. I don't care what anybody says. But I'm going to be really curious to watch that TCU game, whomever they play, and see how they look, because it's a team that's just, like I said, extremely tough.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, like if you're talking about us, in the last month and a half, we've been fantastic, especially mm-hmm. defensively. So again, when I'm singing the praises of these other clubs, we are shooting the ball at a tremendous clip. We're playing great offensively. Drew Timmy's still rolling. Julian's had big time games. Malachi's been great off the bench. Ben Gregg's mixed in some really nice games. I thought Nolan Hickman's been solid. So like, if you look at our last, 4 to 6 weeks, it's like, well, we're pretty good too. And mm-hmm. so I want people to understand I'm talking about Gonzaga basketball, former player, obviously on a podcast about Gonzaga, basically. I like our chances too, but again, I have to be fair to say, hey, this is a matchup that, it will make your eyebrows rise. That's mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. Because it's another Big 12 team that, we've had, frankly, we've had some issues with that kind of athleticism and size in recent past. Now, if we're rolling and shooting the ball well and take care of the basketball, we're, one of the top teams offensively in the country. So you have to guard us too, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting one, but I'm really looking forward to it. I assume TCU wins, but if we're, being honest, if you're being a fan, you kind of hope, well, hopefully Nevada or Arizona State can get an upset there. And in theory, quote unquote, it would be an easier matchup for us.
Right.
But it's still the NCAA tournament, blah, 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 like I just mentioned. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm excited. This is the funnest time of year. It seems like it flies by really fast. Our guys have ascended like we've predicted mm-hmm. all year on the show. And we've had to be like, come on, just everybody needs to calm down a little bit. Nobody's, you know, there's just immediate to be a shuffle in the starting lineups. And, you know, some guys are, you know, when you guys are not ready, it's like they're ready, but they're going in a different pace, man. And it's not like, you know, you can't, not everybody's an all-star right away or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm excited for it, obviously. And I think we'll have a good draw down there, fan base. We got a primetime game. It's cool for the fans too. Like you mentioned, people can go to the bars and watch the games in town and stuff like mm-hmm. that instead of like a random Thursday at 2 p.m. when everybody's
got to play sick, play hooky from work. Know, yeah, exactly.
I got to take my grandmother to the doctor's appointments, 4 hours long too. And so I can't come back. And right when you get out of the car, you know, like walking into your house, like, all right, here we go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You got any listener deals?
I got a couple questions. Yeah, the first question that I want to know is, do you fill out a bracket?
I don't.
You don't?
Never have.
I never have, okay.
I have in before I got to Gonzaga. I probably should. I don't know why I don't. I've always been scared of the weird gambling thing involved with it.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I think in some areas they view it as illegal. Right, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've never done it. I think it's fun. My daughters do it, so they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a cool thing to do. I saw this thing. Remember the Warren Buffett did the thing about 10 years ago? He said if you filled out a perfect, it'd be $1 billion. Remember he publicly said
that? Yeah.
And then I saw one now that's, I think it's on Fox Sports, that was like, fill out a perfect bracket for $1 million. And you're like, are you fucking kidding me? Like $1 million? Like, we'd all want $1 million. I'm not saying that, but a perfect bracket, you're better off. Like, it's like winning the lottery.
Yeah, it
is. And you only get $1 million and Uncle Sam takes half. You'd be like, what the fuck is this? You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you go to those, you see him on TV, like there was this guy that hit a, you know, a 94 foot putt, you know, like you know, floors, like where they do like win a car or whatever. And a guy did it at a college basketball game and he won $400. You're like at least give him $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Like $400. Like, are you fucking kidding me? So, I don't fill out a bracket.
Yeah.
I always have people ask me, I don't know enough about other programs, to be honest.
Yeah.
So like if people that are listening that know me and text me, I don't fucking know. I really don't. Like, and there's so many random upsets. I'm just being completely frank too. I don't know. So it'll be, your guess is as good as mine. I know a little bit more, but like, I don't know about the SEC. I don't know about who was good in the Mountain West this year. Like I've watched Gonzaga games and that's, you know,
I did pick Kent State to beat Indiana. So,
yeah, well, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one because we watched them live.
Yeah,
So I mean, it's also interesting because Indiana has beaten some big time teams
this year.
So you're always like, which team is going to show up?
Yeah, I went off net rankings just because I was like, we've been talking a lot about net rankings, and I feel like those are a better litmus to like how a team's performed throughout the year.
That's a good point.
But you still can't ever, you can never predict the like the one like 13 that's going to beat the four or the 1-12, like the 12 that's going to beat the five. Yeah. Like that always happens every year. It the 5-12 and like, who's it going to be? Is it going to be Charleston versus San Diego State?
Well, like Oral Roberts versus Duke. Duke's playing fantastic, 1-9 in a row.
Yeah.
But Oral Roberts is 30-4.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? So like, it's like, that's a scary matchup for Duke, even though they've been, you know, they just won the ACC championship and blah, blah, blah. They got all, you know, pros on their team, freshman pros that are going to be in the NBA. So I don't know, man. It's always curious. I think some of it's luck.
It's definitely luck.
And then here's advice I give if people are going to like really fill them out, like, check injury reports. You know what I'm saying? Check, like you said, the KenPom and what they've done against quad one and quad two. Mm-hmm. Like really deep dive if you're trying to win pools and stuff like that. I know that's a little bit, but all the information's right on the web. So like you can kind of get a solid breakdown of where analytically, you know, like what Vegas does, kind of obviously not as good as them, but where you're 52-48, well, bet on the 52, even though it's only 4% more, but in a coin flip, you're going to win majority, of, you know, over a long haul, you're going to win. So anyway,
I was going to ask, in this week prep, like before the 3 days before mm-hmm. the team takes off, what, like after the team, when you were going into the tournament, you had Sunday, you had the selection Sunday party. And then like, what were these next couple days like for the players?
Well, it's a ton of media right away.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Again, it's like I've talked about at length. It's great that this program has media attention. People care about it. And then I think, if my memory serves, sometimes we came in that night and maybe watched short film on whomever we're playing. Mm. And then it goes without saying, but you start preparing for your second round game.
Yeah.
I know it sounds funny to people, but that's why you play in your Mauis and these other tournaments, so you can prepare for one game and then have smart enough guys to understand like this next series of stuff is what other team is going to do.
Yeah.
Still take care of business. Mm-hmm. And they'll do that. I guarantee for the deal.
Right.
So again, they'll practice, they'll be locked in for Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
But if let's just say TCU runs a, you know, ice ball screen, they down ball screens. We haven't seen that all year. Texas Tech used to do it. Chris Beard at Texas does it. We'll probably go over that for 30 minutes in practice. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, here's a reminder, guys. If we play against this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of prep. It's a lot of shooting. I know that sounds funny, but like I always have the theory, and I think it's the right one, is you want your guys and girls, whoever you're coaching, to be confident mm-hmm. going into tournaments. And so I think you should dial back the contact. You should still run and get your cardio, but I want them shooting, feeling good. Hey, that's going to be going in on Friday night.
Man, yeah.
That's money on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that type of thing is usually what you kind of do. And just get your mind right, man. You kind of block everything out. And, you know, if you're going into, I mean, obviously you have school and classes, but those kind of take a back burner. He's like,
yeah,
we'll figure this out after we're done.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this tournament. I think March Madness is like,
it's awesome.
It's the best time of the year.
It's
been such a fun part of Spokane for mm-hmm. the last 23 years. Yeah. So like it's such a good vibe downtown on the game day. And someone asked, the last question was, they asked, the guy named Josh Boone was like, where do you go watch the game at? And obviously you get to watch the game mm-hmm. on the sideline, but I was thinking like places to go. Like there's a lot of good places in the GU district to go.
Yeah.
Like Jack and Dan's, obviously you can get a seat. Not the Bulldog anymore, but Logan Tavern is a cool spot. But
No Life's probably another
no
one.
No Lie, yeah. Like that, those are good places to see. If you want to go
Park
to
Park Inn's probably a good one.
Park Inn would be great. Yeah,
Park Inn's good. You're
going to get a lot of GU fans there, but yeah. Pretty much any place that has TVs and have a Zag crowd there.
I'm going to talk about something that maybe upsets the bar crowd, but like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you just invite over a few buddies and watch it at home?
That's what I'm going
to
do. Yeah.
You know, and crack your own beers or whatever you like to drink.
Yeah.
You can push pause if you want.
Right.
Yeah. You have to talk over people. I don't know. I'm that type of person.
Especially in the, like, I mean, like, not getting ahead of ourselves, like we've said multiple times, like the first game is, I mean, we should win this game, yes. And it should be a very, like, I'm going to take the Friday game easy. I'll probably take even the Sunday game a little bit easy. But like, once we get in, if we get into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, like that's when I start, like, maybe I'll go out if it makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, those places are great places to go if you want to have a good Zag crowd.
Yeah.
So it's always fun to go out and watch the Zags play.
Yeah, I get it. Like the counter for myself is like, you know, I'll go to like a bar, and I've done it a few times. I'll watch like a Chelsea game when it's a big time game.
Oh, yeah.
With fans. So I get that aspect, but also like, I don't know. Before I was broadcasting, I'd watch every Zag game at home. And a lot of times, not for the tournament, but I'd be like, oh, we're up 32 against Pepperdine at halftime. Let's see what's on Law & Order SVU. Click. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But all those places are good. I don't know. So if we were sponsored by a bar, we'd really push.
Oh, yeah, we definitely would.
So only go to that place, but we aren't. But anyway, appreciate you helping us out on the show, obviously. And, you know, thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you to our sponsors. Hopefully we're doing not a recap of the season, but we're doing a Sweet 16 preview.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Coming up on next Monday. But yeah, man, appreciate it.
No problem.
Let's do it again. Let's do it again.